You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. We are jam-packed today. Let's start things off a tick early here today as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it each and every day. Scott Unash with you from our studios on the southwest side. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in a moment from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Got a great show for you. Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluder will join us. We had a chance a little bit earlier on today before practice to talk to Coach Bluder, get her thoughts about the season so far, some interesting things that she had to say. We'll talk about Caitlin Clark a little bit, Hannah Stulke. We'll talk about Maryland coming up on Thursday night, big game in the Big Ten down at Carver Hawkeye Arena. So looking forward to talking with Lisa Bluder. KJ Pilcher stops by and joins us as we have a huge week of wrestling on the high school front especially. We'll look back at Iowa Penn State a little bit, but we'll talk about tonight's regional dual action that will set up the state dual meet at Extreme Arena on Saturday. That is the day after the two-day extravaganza, the first Girls High School Athletic Union State Wrestling Tournament, which will take place at Extreme Arena on Thursday and Friday. We'll talk about that with KJ Pilcher as well. As we've got also college football news. Finally, the schedules are out for the Big 12. We'll talk about that. Iowa State letting one go in a big way last night, and Iowa and Northwestern coming up tonight. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Text line and phone line available to you at 319-366-1600. Again, that is 319-366-1600. We will also have your next chance to try to get registered for the grand prize in the Big Game House Party from Circus Sports Iowa. We didn't do well yesterday. It's not us, Mark. It's our listeners. They didn't do well yesterday. We still have four registered for the grand prize drawing that will come up next Monday with Todd on his show between 4 and 6. And we'll have another game for one of our listeners to pick coming up here in just a little bit. So stay tuned for that. That will come up before 4 o'clock this afternoon here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Greetings to you, Mark. We are jam-packed today, aren't we?
Yeah, we don't need any breaking news today, Scott. We've got a full show. And good afternoon to you and everyone out there. Very much looking forward to the Iowa-Northwestern game tonight and talking about some of the things that you outlined.
Well, let's start, first of all, with, and this was actually supposed to happen about a week and a half ago, but did not until today. But the Big 12 has now announced the football schedule for 2023. This is a one-off because this is going to be the only year where there is going to be 14 teams in the Big 12. After Oklahoma and Texas leave for the SEC coming up in 2024, it'll be 12. What a novel concept, Mark. 12 teams in the Big 12. Wow. I hadn't even thought about that.
The Big Ten has not gotten the message.
No, they have not. They have not, and will not get the message, I think, for perpetuity. But at any rate, Iowa State, and I know some people are a little bit perturbed out there, just reading some of the comments about the scheduling. But this is not somebody in the Big 12 office saying, yeah, let's do this. It's a computer that spits them out. And the one thing you notice right off the bat is that Iowa State is only going to have 6 home games next year, which is almost an improbability in this day and age of big-time power college football, Mark. But only 6 home games for Iowa State next year. 9 games for each Big 12 team. You play 1 year you'll play 4 at home. The next year you'll play 5 at home. Just so happened that Iowa State in their obviously in their contract, is going to play at Ohio University this year. Remember back, Iowa played at Miami of Ohio back when Ben Roethlisberger was there. But Iowa State's Big 12 schedule is such: Oklahoma State on September 23rd, followed by a game at Oklahoma for the last time in Norman, at least for a while. October 7th, the reigning national runners-up, the TCU Horned Frogs, will come to Ames. October 14th, for the first time, Iowa State heads to Cincinnati to take on the Bearcats. And then after an off week, Iowa State stays on the road. They will go to Baylor and go to Waco. November 4th is homecoming against the Kansas Jayhawks. November 11th, the first time Iowa State heads to Provo, Utah to take on Brigham Young. November 18th, Texas comes to Ames for more than likely the last time. And then Farmageddon to close things out on November 25th at K-State. So you take a look at the four teams that Iowa State is not playing this year in football: Central Florida, Houston, the two new schools. Iowa State plays two of the four new schools, as well as West Virginia and TCU. So not the cream of the crop as far as at least last year's big-time Big 12 football teams. But so that's got Cyclone fans a bit mysterious and wondering today.
Yeah, and half of those six home games are in, the first 4 weeks of the season. So not a lot of opportunities in October and November to see your Cyclones at home. I think one thing that maybe irked the Iowa State fans a little bit is you got two new teams coming in. You'd like to see one of them at home. But Iowa State is going to play, as you said, at Cincinnati and at BYU. Other than that, you know, you get to host Iowa. You open against UNI. You do have to go to Oklahoma and Baylor and Kansas State, but you got Texas at home, an improving Kansas team at home. TCU without Max Duggan, I don't know what that team is going to look like. I don't think it's so awful, do you?
I don't think it's awful, but it could have been an easier schedule. I'll just say that. I agree with you. You want to see some new blood. But I guess on the other hand, this is your last time to see Texas in Ames and you know, do horns down and all that fun stuff. So one more time to do that, at least on the gridiron anyway, on November 18th. What do you think, Cyclone fans? Yay or nay as far as the Big 12 football schedule or the schedule for Iowa State? 319-366-1600 is that coming out today. Like we said, that was actually supposed to come out about maybe a week ago or a week and a half ago, somewhere around there. But anyway, pushed off a little bit, but still gives you something to think about as far as the fall and football is concerned. Better than thinking about what happened last night in Lubbock, Texas, Mark. Oy, that we talked last week about Iowa's loss to Michigan State. That was one that the Hawkeyes let get away. Well, you times that by three, and I think you had what Iowa State went through last night in Lubbock.
Times it by 30 or 300, I don't know. Iowa State led by 23 points with 12 and a half minutes left.
Think about that.
It's another example of college basketball games are never over, whether it's 13 or 23, what have you. I'm still scratching my head. I watched the game to figure out what happened. I mean, Texas Tech amped up the defense. This is a team that Iowa State beat by 34 in Ames. And the Cyclones were outscored 49-32 in the second half. We've often talked about Iowa State's defense travels. Well, frankly, it hasn't the last three games, Scott.
No, it was looking good for the first 30 minutes of that game, and then all of a sudden, Texas Tech, for Mark Adams, decided, you know what, we're going to go one-on-one, and we're going to beat you off the dribble.
Yeah, they did.
And now Iowa State also turned the ball over at the end. They missed free throws, and that was – when you're down 20-plus with that amount of time remaining, you got to get some help. And Iowa State did help out. Some key misses of free throws, including, I mean, Gabe Kalischer missed 2 of 3 when he was fouled on the three-pointer with about 1:10 remaining in the game. That really could help things out as far as Iowa State is concerned. I don't think they really ran the clock well in the last 1 minute of the game. They could have got a 2-for-1 situation, didn't do it. It was just kind of piling on top of one another last night, and that's we said Texas Tech was going to get somebody. They were too talented not to get somebody, and you were just kind of hoping it wasn't going to be Iowa State, and bang, there it was.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're talking about a team that hasn't won in the Big 12, and you're the team that's leading or sharing the Big 12 lead. You got this game wrapped up. 23 points with 12 and a half minutes left. Down the stretch, the defense failed. The offense looked like a deer in headlights. And it's really kind of unexplainable.
It really is. It really is. Caleb Grill had his Superman cape on last night, and he was terrific for the first 30 minutes, much like Iowa State. And then things just kind of deteriorated at that point, certainly for the Cyclones. 9049 on the text line talking about the football schedule. Iowa State's schedule is daunting. Anyone want to go to Cincinnati, Waco, Athens, or Provo? That's a lot of miles. I didn't think about that. That is a lot of miles that Iowa State is going to put on.
Yeah, and then you're bringing in, you know, maybe a trip to Central Florida in the next couple of years. And that's one thing about expansion. The Big Ten is going to face it with USC and UCLA coming in. There's going to be more travel, not just for, you know, football and basketball teams, but other sports.
True. And we're going to talk about Iowa Northwestern. That is tonight at 8 o'clock at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, the rescheduled game from about a week and a half ago as well, when Northwestern was going through sickness and injuries, et cetera, et cetera. That will be tonight, again, at 8 o'clock. Big Ten Network will have that. We'll talk about that, but we got to take a break and come back. We'll get you a weather update, and then going to dive right into our talk earlier today with head coach Lisa Bluter of the Iowa women's basketball team. Iowa and Maryland coming up in a huge matchup in the Big Ten and nationally on ESPN on Thursday night. We'll talk about it after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm Kason Ferris with a check of your weather first forecast. For your Tuesday afternoon, expect mostly sunny skies with temperatures reaching in the upper single digits and lower teens. However, wind chills during this time will be into the single digits and possibly below zero. As we head towards Tuesday night, chilly conditions are expected. Temperatures will be dropping down into the single digits under a clear sky with wind chill values likely below zero. For your Wednesday, temperatures will be a bit warmer and back near normal with sunny skies, temperatures reaching into the mid-20s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Gym is teaming up with Circa Sports Iowa to make your big game party one you'll never forget. With $500 worth of food and beverages from Hy-Vee, Circa Sports swag for you and your guests, and to top it all off, a trip to Vegas.
Vegas! It's KGYM's Big Game House Party.
Listen to our local programming weekdays from 2 to 6 to play. We'll throw out a daily game from the Circa Sportsbook and let you pick the winner. If your team wins, you'll be in the running to win a party package from Circa Sports Iowa, including a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. But that's not all. You'll also head to Las Vegas to enjoy a three-night stay at the Circa Hotel, along with $500 in travel funds.
That's what I'm talking about.
Must be 21 and up to play. Travel package must be used within 6 months. Some blackout dates may apply.
It's KGYM's Big Game House Party. Listen to play. Pick your winning team.
Move on to the finals and find out if you're the grand prize winner during the Todd Brommelkamp Show on Monday, February 6th.
Brought to you by Circa Sports Iowa and The Gym. See contest rules at KGYMradio.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here as we take you through a Tuesday edition of the program. And we're getting ready for a pretty darn big basketball game coming up on Thursday night down in Iowa City as the Iowa women will take on Brenda Freeze and the Maryland Terrapins. And to talk about that and all things Hawkeye women's basketball, head coach Lisa Bluder, kind enough to join us today. And Coach, Happy New Year, and what a great 2023 it's been so far for you and the Hawkeyes.
It's been good. Scott, Mark, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You're right. It is a pretty big game coming up on Thursday night. Anytime you're hosting a team that's ranked in the top 10 in the country and a team that is, you know, at the top of the Big Ten, it's big. But this one seems to be even a little bit bigger.
Well, there was a big one at Ohio State. Was that as well as you played, Lisa?
Yeah, I do. And the reason is A, it was a road game. B, they'd never been beaten at home or beaten on the whole year. And then C, we're without McKenna Warnock, our third leading scorer, third best rebounder, one of our best three-point shooters on the team. So to do it without McKenna was really, really special.
Well, speaking of, that was going to be one of my next questions. How is McKenna doing right now?
Well, I wish I could give you a firm answer. She hasn't practiced yet. We're still, you know, optimistic that she might be able to play on Thursday, but we don't know for sure. It's really a day-by-day thing, and just really rest and healing is the only thing. You know, time is what's going to heal her, and it's been 2 weeks tomorrow, and so hopefully we'll start to see some progress on that, but not really sure. But we sure match up a whole lot better against Maryland with McKenna in the lineup.
Well, one of the players, I'm sure you'll agree, that has stepped up is Hannah Stolke from Cedar Rapids. And the moment has not been too big for her.
Hannah has just played outstanding. And, you know, that was really the thing coming in. We all knew what a talent she was. And it was how fast she was going to get a feel for playing at this level. And then really for us, it was like, yes, you can do this. Her confidence just has to grow because she didn't know as a freshman if she really, you know, how much she should contribute. Do I hold back? And we're kind of giving her that green light. You go for it, Hannah, because you're just that talented.
Yeah, and watching her for 4 years play at Washington, you could just, growing and growing each year into her game. And you could just tell that her best basketball, I think, is still ahead of her. And I'm sure that's that along with her talent just is what caught your eye anyway.
Oh, yeah. She's so athletic and can jump out of the gym. She's got great speed in our transition offense, which is such a big part of our offense. And, you know, she's got obviously, like you say, you know, her best basketball is ahead of her. And she's going to have some things that she's going to learn in the off season to do better. And but right now, I'm really, really happy with how Hannah's doing. And she's such a wonderful young lady, too. It's always fun to see local kids succeed, but it's also fun to see local good kids, you know, achieve. And that's what she's doing.
Coach, what did you want your team to take out of the Nebraska game, which kind of got a little close for comfort at the end?
Yeah, what I want them to take is, you know, every game is important. It doesn't matter if we're playing, you know, Maryland or Ohio State. They're all important, and we prepare for them the same way. I just thought that our defense was uninspired in that game, and we just can't afford to have those letdowns defensively, like in the first quarter and, you know, part of the fourth quarter. But, you know, I was proud of the way they came back. Our second quarter was outstanding. Our third quarter was really good as well. So I'm proud that they came back. I just don't want to put ourselves in that type of situation. And, I think that they've learned. Plus, you know, we know we need McKenna back. I mean, that's a glaring, depth problem for us, height problem for us when we don't have her.
Yeah. Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluder joining us here in the gym class here on KGYM. Here we are 5 minutes into it, and we have not talked about Caitlin Clark as of yet. So we had high time we need to do that. Junior season for Caitlin just seems to be getting better and better. The double-doubles, the triple-doubles. That Ohio State game, I think, was the best I've ever seen her in distributing the ball to her teammates anyway. Wanted to ask you about that, her passing, not only with her scoring, if that's starting and keeping improving, but also on just how other teams defend her in the Big Ten. She's gotten frustrated at times. I think you've gotten frustrated at times, and Jan and everybody. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Caitlin is, I mean, she is a generational player. She's special. And to me, you know, people try to stop her by basically mugging her. And I just think that's not the way we want to play basketball. There's supposed to be freedom of movement out there. She never has that. I mean, her arms are pretty red, banged up when she gets done with the game from people holding her so much. And, you know, that's how people think they need to defend her. And that, you know, I think that we need to protect her a little bit. It just frustrates me, and obviously it frustrates her, but who wouldn't? I mean, if you're any person that's competitive, you know, you don't like to be held and smacked all the time. So it's just not a lot of fun. But like you said, when she had 15 assists at Ohio State, you know, that is amazing. And she flirts with double doubles, you know, or triple doubles. And one assist away against Nebraska, one rebound away in another game this year. So she's really a special player, and that's why, you know, I hope that people come out this last year and a half that we have with her and really want to come and watch her, because you might not see a player quite like this again at Iowa.
Yeah, Lisa, is her passing just an innate ability? I mean, you must turn to Jan or Jenny sometimes said, did you see that?
Yeah, Mark, it happens in practice all the time. It just happened yesterday. Hannah Stolke started running the floor against our practice squad, and Caitlin had the ball in her hands and looked at Hannah, and they just had this great, like, kind of unspoken communication. Hannah turns on the Jets, and Caitlin just delivers the ball on the dime up for a layup. She lays it in. And those are the kind of things, you know, I had to stop practice because those are the things that are so much fun. And when you have that connection, when you have somebody that can pass the ball like that, it really makes for pretty basketball. And, you know, she led the country in scoring, but also led the country in assists last year. And I think people sometimes forget it. You get kind of enamored with her logo threes. You forget how special her vision is in passing the basketball. She, right, almost like anticipates things before they're going to happen. And that's a real gift.
How about Monica Sinano coming back for this year to play with Caitlin, to play with her teammates one more time, shooting, what, 66%, I think, the last time I checked from the field anyway. Still doing great things in the middle, helping you out, and especially without McKenna Warnock in the lineup right now. You have to really depend on Monica even more now.
Oh, it's amazing what she has done. Leading the country the last 2 years in field goal percentage shooting at 68. This year she's at 66. In the last three games, she's missed a total of 5 shots. You know, she's shot 7 for 10 against Nebraska. Her hands are amazing. Her ability to finish in traffic. And Caitlin is smart. Caitlin knows if I get the ball to Monica, her hands are great. She's going to catch it, and she's probably going to score, which is going to give me an assist. So I think it is the best bookend combo in the country right now is Monica and Caitlin.
Lisa, when you got into this crazy coaching business, you probably could not have envisioned things like NIL marketplace, Swarm, and whatnot. I want to get your overall feelings of that dynamic in college basketball.
Yeah, no, I would never dream about a transfer portal either, or, you know, it's changed so much, and it's changed drastically in the last 5 years. Never dreamed about that when I got into coaching, that kids would be able to make money. I think it's a great thing. If they have the opportunity and the time, why should they not be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness? I mean, it's teaching them incredible business lessons and lessons on how to brand, how to market themselves. But yeah, the collectives and the swarm, it's great. We have to have it. If we want to be competitive, we must have those things. And I think we're doing it right at Iowa because everybody gets to the same amount. And the players have to do public service in order to receive that money. So it's helping our community as well as, you know, giving our players equal amount, like the quarterback on the football team makes the same amount as, you know, the guy that rides the bench on the men's basketball team. So I think that is the right way to do it. I know not everybody around the country is doing it that way, but I think we are doing it the proper way.
How about the Big Ten this year? I mean, Maryland coming up this week, but you take a look, Indiana at the top with only one loss. Ohio State has kind of fallen a little bit after your victory over there in Columbus. But Illinois coming up this year out of nowhere to be a top echelon team in the Big Ten. This is about as good as the league has been, isn't it?
It truly is. Conference, and when you look at teams ranked as, you know, number two in the country like Ohio State is, now they did lose three in a row and dropped a little bit, but that is still a great basketball team. You look at Purdue, who's on the rise. Illinois, biggest turnaround in women's basketball in the country. Indiana right now ranked as a number one seed in the Big Ten, the NCAA tournament. It's just every night is a grind in this conference, but that, you know, that keeps you sharp. That keeps you playing at your very best, and hopefully that's going to pay dividends for us in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you get everybody healthy and playing well. What's the ceiling for this team, Lisa?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is when you get into the NCAA tournament, it's one and done, as we all saw, or not one and done, but it's like, every game is the could be the end of your season, which we saw last year. And, you know, that it's matchups, it's, officiating, it's all kinds of things that can come into play in this game. And, you know, that's what makes it so hard. And women's basketball, men's basketball, there's, 370 Division I schools. Only one school gets to go home happy. I should have coached football where 50% of those people in bowls go home happy, but – in basketball, it's not that way, and it really is hard, and it's who can handle the pressure at that point, who's healthy at that point, that's who's going to, you know, succeed in the long run.
Iowa, Maryland coming up on Thursday night. It's always fun when the Terps come in with Coach Freeze, of course, Cedar Rapids native. With or without Monica, what do you need to do? What do people need to watch for at Carver on Thursday night?
Well, it's going to be a great game. Of course, Maryland has another great team. They always do. Sitting at 18 and 4 overall, 8 and in conference, they're 9-2. They just are such a good defensive team, and that's what Maryland, kind of. Their MO is they're always a team that can turn you over and score off your turnovers. And so we have to handle their press. They're amazing. They're a great defensive team. But I think it's going to be a great matchup. It's obviously an ESPN game. So we've got a great crew coming in. Just got off the phone with Rebecca Lobo, Holly Rowe. They're going to all be here in Carver. And, I just hope we get a great attendance. Right now we're the second best attended team in the country at an average of 10,800 at our games. And, you know, that's something I couldn't say 5 years ago for sure. And so I'm so appreciative of the people that come out and support this team. But, boy, Thursday night at 7:30, we really need you in Carver. This is an important game for us, and we really, really would love to have the Hawks come out and support us.
Not bad, not
Lisa,
bad.
Lisa, last one. Thank you very much. How important is it to have your coaches – year after year, stay intact, your staff is intact, just a model of consistency?
You know, I think it's a big part of our success because, you know, hiring people, finding the right people, and training those people takes a lot of time and effort. And when you're not doing that year after year or every other year, it gives you so much time to concentrate on what's important. And also, we have a relationship. You know, relationships take time to build. And in this sport, you have to have trust. You go to battle with these people, and, it's got emotional highs and emotional lows. And if you don't trust the people you're with, it can really be tough on you. So I think, you know, the trust that we've built up, the organization, you know, everybody knows what each other's strengths and weaknesses are and who does what well. And we're kind of like a finely oiled machine in that regard, in my opinion. And I think it's greatly, you know, helped us in our success.
Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluder, kind enough to join us a little bit earlier on today, and we thank her for that. Iowa, Maryland coming up 7:30 on Thursday. Going to get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update real quick with Mark, but before we do that, let's get somebody out there a chance to get registered for our big game house party from Circa Sports Iowa. We've been doing this contest for the last week and this week. And we've got four people registered here so far. We'd like to get another one registered. And all you need to do is be caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. That's the first part of the equation, 319-366-1600. And you need to come up with the correct side on our game today. We have an NBA game, the big one tonight between the Lakers and the Knicks. Lakers, if you like Los Angeles, they are getting a point and a half. If you like the Knicks, you're giving a point and a half here, Mark. It's a back-to-back for Los Angeles. They lost at Brooklyn last night. And LeBron and Anthony Davis may not play again tonight. Just a little background on that right there. But we need caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. Lakers and Knicks. We're asking you about that here today on the Gym Class program as we hope to get a winner and get somebody registered in our big game house party from Circa Sports Iowa. All right, Mark, I'm going to get it to you for an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update.
Sounds great, Scott. Former Iowa quarterback Carson May has found a landing spot in the transfer portal. He will continue his career at Coffeyville, Kansas Community College. The Iowa-Penn State wrestling duel last Friday night became the Big Ten Network's most watched wrestling meet of all time, surpassing last year's Iowa-Penn State meet. About 400,000 viewers watched that particular match. Former Iowa star Keegan Murray has been invited to the Rising Stars game as part of All-Star Weekend in the NBA. Keegan had 13-13 last night against the Timberwolves. And finally, just when you thought you saw everything, Scott, in high school basketball, a 22-year-old assistant coach at a high school in Virginia impersonated a 13-year-old player in a JV game. Dressed, the player was out doing, couldn't play that night, particular night. This assistant coach purported to be that 13-year-old girl.
Oh, jeez. Nope. I guess you can check that one off the bingo card. All
like
right.
Nobody's going to notice?
No. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. And speaking of Marks, Mark from Cedar Rapids, our contestant, he is taking the Lakers plus 1.5 in the game against the Knicks coming up tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, and KJ Pilcher joins us. A lot of wrestling to talk about. We'll do it after this here on the Gym Class KGYM.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
This summer, just say, what the fun, in a rugged, fuel-efficient Honda SUV, America's most fuel-efficient full-line automaker, and have whatever fun you want. Camping, water skiing, a 12-game round-robin travel ball tournament crisscrossing the entire region. What the fun indeed. New Hondas are arriving daily, so get to your Central Midwest Honda dealer today. Honda gets the Midwest. Based on EPA estimate of model year 2020, large full-line automaker fleet-wide fuel economy. 2021 EPA Automotive Trends Report, November 2021.
Back with you on the Gym Class, KGYM. We'll talk to KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, coming up here in just a moment. Scott and Mark back with you. Tomorrow, we will take a look back at Iowa Northwestern, which comes up tonight at 8 o'clock from Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. And we'll talk hoops. Usually joining us on Thursday is Kevin Lehman, the coach, but he and Mark are going to switch this week. So Mark Ironside will be joining us coming up on Thursday, and we will talk basketball with the coach Kevin Lehman coming up tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. So Just kind of switching things around. Mark is out of town right now, so we'll talk with him coming up on Thursday. And a lot of wrestling to discuss, and the hardest working guy, I'm not even going to say in Eastern Iowa, I'm going to say in the Midwest, is joining us here. And KJ Pilcher on Tuesdays is kind enough to join us. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt and his office located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And hey, before we get to all that's going on in the high school world here, KJ, let's go back to Friday night at State College, Iowa and Penn State. Your thoughts about the Nittany Lions victory? It pretty much went all chalk as far as the seedings and rankings are concerned.
Yeah, for the most part. I think they're both teams probably walked away thinking there are a couple matches that they could have or should have kind of flipped there, but just knew there were going to be a lot of tight matches and close matches that could go either way. You know, when you look at the final scores, and you know, you had that, you know, from 49-65 last week, we talked about how those were going to be really key matches that were toss-ups. Iowa actually won two out of the three, but just couldn't get couldn't really dent things at 74-97 heavyweight. You know, and those all went, like you said, according to rankings, pretty much, you know, to Penn State. And, of course, wrestling shorthanded with Abe Assad. I don't exactly know why I didn't attend this week's media availability because of the preparation for regional duels tonight, the girls' state tournament, state duel, excuse me, later this week. So not sure if that was addressed today by Coach Brands, and but you know, being shorthanded, they really kind of threw roads to the Wolves there. You know, a light 74-pounder having to go up against one of the best, you know, the best 184-pounder in the country, that was a tough task, and kind of win as expected there, but. Yeah, you know, that was a tough duel. Just not, you know, the thing that stood out, just not a lot of offense.
Yeah.
Just not a lot of points being scored. And there were matches where they were in it. And, you know, you'd hope conditioning or, you know, kind of toughness propels you. You've seen it from Iowa teams in the past. And it just, you know, Penn State's good. So I'm. Let's not take that away from them. It's not like they're trying to do this against run-of-the-mill wrestlers, but still. If you want to be national champions when it comes to mid-March, those are things that you're going to have to do against the best team in the country, and they just weren't able to do it on Friday.
KJ, the Alliant Powerhouse was a very busy place. You were there. For the a couple of regional duels, first time ever for girls wrestling. How did it go on the maiden voyage, so to speak?
I tell you, it was chaotic and frenzied and a lot of fun. it was, I tell you, these regional tournaments, it was similar to a state tournament atmosphere, at least trying to cover where there's 100 things going on, one right after the other, and trying to keep up with it was tough. But, you know, I think for the most part, walking away from the regionals, I think the girls' union, the coaches, and athletes were really happy with how this first rendition of a qualifying tournaments went. Obviously, like Aaron Kirtley from the girls' union mentioned, you know, there are things that we'll look at and improve on, you know, that's kind of given with any event, especially, you know, the first one. But I think for the most part, they went really well. I mean, over 1,300 wrestlers competed in the eight regionals at four different sites across the state. in Cedar Rapids. You know, there was like 360, which was the biggest turnout. And, you know, it was you could just see the excitement. I mean, it was almost palpable a little bit there. Is, you know, the competition was good, especially as you got later on in the rounds. You know, but there still is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of pins. There's varying levels of experience. So that's going to be natural because you have some wrestlers who have been doing it since they were in third grade and younger. And there are some who never stepped on the mat or even thought about wrestling until November. So you're going to have kind of that that varying level and, you know, some kind of lopsided matches. But for the most part, I think things went really well. The competition was good. And for the first time around, you know, there was a good turnout as well for a Friday. You got to remember that's, you know, in the work week, which is tough for regionals. But, you know, you kind of have to do that with officials and table workers and stuff with conflicts with boys, conference tournaments that on Saturday. But I think it went well. And I think the overall feeling from all involved walking away from Friday was that it was a great start.
Yeah, and you wrote about that, just kind of the things that needed to be tweaked a little bit. The thing I heard was the fact that they may just go to the 8 regionals if they can find them next year because, like you said, it was nuts. It was fun nuts, but it was nuts.
Yeah, it was. And that's the thing. You know, one of the other things, too, originally there weren't going to be 8 regionals.
Right.
It's just supposed to be one regional at each site, but because of the growth and the rapid expansion of participation, which is fantastic, that's why they had to split each regional in half. So they went from super regionals to 2 regionals at each site, you know, and that was kind of an adaptation during this season. So, you know, next year, expecting numbers to be as strong, if not stronger, then they can expand that to different sites and make sure you can find venues big enough to hold them, which they should be able to. And one thing too that'll really help give them a bigger stage. You know, I think anybody that's been around wrestling tournaments knows how key it is to really have those placing matches singled out and highlighted. And as much as they tried, you still had 2 championship matches going on at the same time. So, you were split between what you could see, and one would get over before the other, which allowed you to watch some of the others, but you might miss one. That would help kind of going and really put a better spotlight on the competitors, one that they don't have to share, especially when you have something like a championship match going on, if that makes sense.
It does.
Regional duels tonight. KJ, not sure where you're headed, but you wrote about the fact that Lisbon might find itself as a rare home underdog tonight. I don't know whether that's based on rankings or Wapsie Valley's that good. Let's dive into the regionals a little bit.
Well, I am heading out to Linmar. I'm going to be at Linmar for the 3A regional duel. Number 11, Dubuque Hempstead and Fort Madison will wrestle in the semifinal there. The winner will face number 7, Linmar, for a chance to go to the state duels. Our colleague Jeff Linder is going to jump in and actually help out with coverage tonight. He's going to go to Mount Vernon, where they have a 2A regional duel with Assumption and PCM. We'll have the semifinal, and the Mustangs will have the winner of that duel. Mount Vernon's looking for their first state berth since 2005, I believe. So Mustangs have really put together a strong season, and you know that's one duel wise I think that's where they're at their best, and it'll be interesting to see how they kind of carry on the success that they've had, because, you know, they had a fantastic fall with making the state finals in football. A lot of those athletes are on the wrestling team, and you're seeing that success kind of carry over. So this would be a big accomplishment for Vance Light, Aaron Truitt, and the Mustangs. Yeah, you bring up Lisbon, and this is a new process this year. You know, before it used to be the sectional champions and sectional runners-up would get split up into regional duels, and they would kind of just determine sites before the field was set. This year they based it solely on the rankings. 3A has done that in the past. This year they're doing all three classes that way. So the host sites were determined by the second set of rankings that was done 2 weeks ago. And at the time, Lisbon was number 5. So the top 8 teams in that set of rankings were the host sites, or as long as geographically that could work out. Well, then they determined the field by the last set of rankings a week later, and that's where you saw a shift from Lisbon dropping from 5 to 7 and Wapsie Valley jumping up to 5th. So Brad Smith said called the association, asked about that, and they said they already kind of had their things set up. A lot of it had to do with Woodbury Central out west is ranked 9th, and they kind of had to host because the teams out there are so isolated, they really couldn't travel that far. So Wapsie Valley was already coming down to Lisbon. They just happened to be ranked ahead, so now they get the bye. And Lisbon is one of the few hosts that have to wrestle in the semifinals. And Coach Smith said, it's not really that big of a disadvantage because a lot of times they wrestle 2 to 3 meets, conference duels in the night anyway. A second match isn't going to bother them. And Johnston's in the same boat. Johnston was a team that's hosting. Fort Dodge is actually going to go to Johnston, but because of their latest ranking being higher, they're going to end up with the bye and wrestle in the regional finals at Johnston. So Lisbon's not the only one dealing with that. But Wapsie Valley is better. I think they're a better tournament team than maybe a dual team, but they're a strong team. But Lisbon is probably tougher than they've had some injuries. They've got those guys back. They're still giving up 2 forfeits, though. But you've got some wrestlers that are capable of getting bonus points, like Brandon Paez, 2-time state champ at 120, Wyatt Smith, who's ranked 2nd at heavyweight. You got Indy Ferguson, Kiernan Boots, Indy Harbaugh, Matthias Cole, guys that can score bonus points. They've got 7 ranked wrestlers. So when you have that, you can get extra points from them and split the matches. You have a good shot. And sure, there might be some moving guys around to get the best matchups, and Coach Smith is pretty good at that.
Very good at that. KJ Pilcher joining us for a few more minutes here as we talk wrestling with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. States Girls Wrestling Tournament, the inaugural coming up on Thursday and Friday, and then right after that, regional dual state championships on Saturday. So a lot to look forward to anyway. And how about the what are you looking forward to the most at Extreme Arena for the girls state tournament, the very first one?
Well, I tell you, just kind of looking through, I think one thing that gets overlooked is just the individual talent that's out there. On the girls' side of things, you know, everything's kind of caught up with this just being the first year. But you've got some fantastic wrestlers. 15 of them are coming in unbeaten. Some of the area participants, you know, like Mackenzie Childers at Cedar Rapids Prairie, she's unbeaten at 125. You've got Jillian Worthen, who I'll be doing a feature on. You know, she's affectionately called the monster. Nickname her dad gave her because of kind of her rambunctiousness when she was little, and it's really kind of carried over, you know, and she says it's a good description of her wrestling too, and she's one of the best in the state. You have Lily Luft of Charles City, Molly Allen of Oakland Riverside. You know, you've just got a whole list of individuals. Naomi Simon at Decorah, which with Decorah, they've got 10 qualifiers, and I think that's the most of any team coming down. And we saw with East Buchanan, you know, it doesn't matter what class you would be associated with. You know, East Buchanan is a team that has 8 qualifiers, and they're capable of placing ahead of schools that are much bigger and programs that have a lot more wrestlers. So there's a lot of individual talent, and then the team race is going to be really, really exciting to watch, because you're going to have staples like Waverly Shellrock that has 8 qualifiers. You're going to have teams like Linmar that have 6 and a few girls that can go, you know, deep into the tournament. Mentioned Prairie with Childers and Jade Henick. Maya Roush is ranked, and they have 5 qualifiers as well. You know, and you have Southeast Polk that has about 8 qualifiers as well. Osage has about 7 or 8. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out, since they're in one giant pool. But look at 110. That's going to be a real interesting weight class. You got a couple unbeaten wrestlers in Jasmine Lutke from Ottumwa. They're kind of being one of the leaders kind of going forward. And, you know, that could be fun to kind of see how the talent there shakes out. You've got some other teams in the area with some high-quality wrestlers. Like Vince Shellsburg has 5 going, including Chloe Sanders and Bree Swenson, who won regional titles. So it's going to be fun watching just kind of the parity in the assortment of teams and individuals from Ridgeview, you know, in Northwest Iowa, you know, to Decorah in Northeast Iowa, to the local teams like Cedar Rapids Prairie and Linmar, and the like, battling it out.
Going to be fun indeed. And hats off to folks that won conference championships last weekend. The teams, Linmar goes back-to-back in the MVC. And then and West Delaware got another one in the WAMAC.
Yeah, kind of with status quo, I guess you would say. Not a lot of upsets or surprises there. Unfortunately, the Tri-Rivers was wiped out due to the weather. But, you know, Wilton and the River Valley Conference dominated with 8 champs. You had Linmar, you know, I think had 6 in the finals with 3 champs. The big thing there that kind of stood out was the battle between Gabe Arnold and Tate Nakaborn. Gabe Arnold winning in tiebreaker 1 overtime with 2 you know, nationally ranked wrestlers. And the margin between the two have shrunk each time, even though Arnold's won. And we could see a really exciting finals down in Des Moines between those two, you know, for the fourth installment of that rivalry that probably will extend into college with Arnold going to Iowa and Nakaborn going to Iowa State.
Yeah, we're going to see number 4 unless there's something strange happening, which is going to be fun. Hey, man, thanks for the time. I know you're really, really socked right now, but enjoy the wrestling starting with tonight, and we'll talk next week.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
You bet. KJ Pilcher does a tremendous job. Follow him on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazette.com. All right, 3:57 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll talk Iowa Northwestern coming up tomorrow. Kevin Lehman will join us as well. One thing you're looking for tonight as far as the Hawks and the Wildcats, Mark, is Northwestern, number 2 in the Big Ten, comes to Iowa City.
Which team has the better guard play? Northwestern and Adige and Bowie, maybe one of the best guard combinations in the country. And can Iowa handle that?
This is an experienced, veteran Northwestern team. They've got to stop Boo Booey tonight. He is the straw that stirs the drink. If Iowa can do a, they don't have to shut him down, but if they do a decent job of containing Boo Booey, I think Iowa's got a really good chance to come out on top as far as this one is tonight. And we will talk about that tomorrow here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Looking forward to it at 3 o'clock. We've got the Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way tonight. That will be beginning at 6:30. The Todd Brommelkamp Show comes your way next right here on KGYM. By the way, big thanks to Lisa Nolan Real Estate, the Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State men's and women's basketball, as well as the Coaches Show throughout the season. All right, Mark, thanks. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk to him.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
Working out has been proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At the MAC, we care about you as a person. That's why we have personal trainers you can connect with